And Max Mitchell will not be here today.
Max is out.
So can we get a roll call?
Clemens.
Here.
Clifford.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Store.
Here.
Summers. Weibel.
Here.
Cohort.
Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Need approval of the minutes for November 3rd, 2017.
Chance.
Oh, so moved. Second.
Discussion? Seeing all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Do we have public participation?
Yeah. My name is Ryan Ackerman. I'm the highway commissioner up in Kerr Township, which is up in the northeast corner of the county, up north of Penfield, for those of you who don't know. And in talking to a couple of the other road commissioners in the area, they thought I ought to come and speak on behalf of a couple things that are one issue that's presented itself here this last couple weeks. And I'm not sure if we really have any in the county as far as inside the township yet. I know there's a couple alongside the county roads and stuff, but I was approached 2 weeks ago by Parks Livestock, a representative from Parks Livestock, about a couple of possible sites in the township that they're looking to put up a hog facility.
This would be confined feeding?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a 4,100 head barn that they'll basically bring in, you know, little pigs and feed them out to market. From my understanding through him, it's a pit underneath the barn where the manure is held. And then once it's full or however they do it, time of the year, they'll pull a drag line around the field around it to knife the manure in. I guess my concern is, as far as the road district goes, you know, we don't have very much money to begin with. We're the smallest, probably, or one of the smallest in the state as far as township goes. Funds, we don't have a lot of to build a road going to this facility to handle the kind of traffic that it's going to present, especially the construction traffic. The two sites he's proposed, got a mark on the map there just so you got an idea of where you're at.
There you go.
The two sites he's proposed, one of them is on 2500 East, which would be just a mile south of County Road 9. So they basically use, when I spoke with him, you know, I basically told him we'd have to try to find the least, the shortest distance off of a main county or state road. So the first one there is south of County Road 9 on 2500 East. And then the second would be 2 miles west of County Road 22 on 3200 North. They're marked with a star there where the two spots are, I guess. I haven't.
Is this where the feet? I see two stars on here. Which one is the feeding operation? Or
yeah, these are the two proposed sites.
Oh, they've got two of them.
Yeah, they'd like to put two if possible.
So at 4,100 at each?
At each, yeah. So he basically came to me with these two proposed sites and you know, wanted to talk about the roads, meet with me about the roads, see what kind of conditions the roads would be in, what it would take for them to do this. I know they've put up a couple over in Vermilion County, or actually they put up several in Vermilion County, but there was a couple that was actually in township right-of-ways, on township roads, in Oakwood Township. And they did front a little bit of money to help build up the road leading to the hog barn. Mm-hmm. I haven't met back with him because I've when I met with him, I told him I needed to get in contact with Jeff and a couple other people because this is kind of the first situation like this I've had to deal with as far as being the road commissioner and somebody wanting to come in and build a facility like this. So I just didn't want to go in there blind. I needed to talk to a few people and a few of the other road commissioners thought I'd come to the meeting today and make you guys all aware of what's going on. I don't know exactly what we can do to, I mean, there's really nothing we can do to stop them, but I guess my biggest issue is I don't want the township to suffer for this happening. I mean, I've got basically $64,000 and some change between my road and bridge and my permanent road fund. You know, that's all the money I got to work with. That's not even going to come close to building a road. I've got some rough figures on what it would take to build a mile, you know, and it's going to be roughly $140,000 to build a mile suitable for the kind of traffic that they're going to have.
So that's not an 80,000-pound road?
No, by, I mean, it's just a
by statute, bit. Every road's an 80,000-pound road, but...
Well, it's a two-lane blacktop.
Not mine, not the township.
Just an oil and chip road.
It's an oil and chip road, what, 18 feet?
I'm going to a meeting on Tuesday for that, and mm-hmm. isn't this the road that goes down to Penfield?
No, that
this,
is...
This a, one is here.
Yeah.
That's road County Road 22 county right road. Here. This is County Road 9.
Yeah, but where this comes over and then goes up to, is that, oh, what's the little town I'm thinking of? Clarence? Is this the Clarence Road?
No, Clarence Road would actually be.
Is it over
it's
here?
It's up here, yeah.
This, oh, that's right. I'm right in.
This dark line okay. that you think's a county road, that's not. That's actually a township okay. road. Because the road jogs here. This is where Roberts is. Roberts okay. is our.
Well, the one I'm going to, it's going to be right up here on that Clarence Road.
That'd be
road.
On Clarence Road. That'd be a county road, though.
Okay. What's a Clarence yeah. road?
It's just a little two-lane blacktop that goes from Clarence. And
oh,
County.
Clarence.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't enunciate properly. Sorry.
Yeah, so these
so
are...
So there's more going
are,
in.
These are actually... Yeah, they're...
I hadn't heard about these.
He told me they're looking for at least another six sites.
Okay.
You know, wherever in the area. Wherever they can find somebody that's willing to do it.
Okay.
You know, my... Yeah, by statute, every road's an 80,000-pound road.
Okay.
But
mm-hmm. you know, my oil and chip roads, you know, I might have 2 or 3 inches of oil and chip sitting on dirt,
yeah.
you know, and they're not going to hold up to, mm-hmm. you know, he told me kind of that it's going to be roughly, you know, 1,200 or 1,300 yards of concrete going into this haul facility.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's 130 or 140 cement trucks running up and down that road,
yeah.
maybe in the middle of July, depending on when they're going to build it. You know, it's just going to destroy the road.
Or yeah. spring when it's
or spring
wetter.
When it's wet. And that's the same way with the traffic hauling them, you know, out once they get mm-hmm. them to market. Yeah, it might only be every 6 months that they do that, but it depends on what time of year it is. If it's the end of February or 1st of March when everything's thawing and they're running semis at 24 or 25 loads of cent hogs out of there, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to tear the road up. So I guess my whole thing with being here today was just kind of let you guys know what's possibly coming in and happening. I don't know. I mean, that's up to you guys to discuss if there's anything that can be done to any kind of ordinances or anything that can be put in to do anything about it. But I mean, and it's not that I'm against them coming in. I mean, I don't have a problem with them coming in. I just want to make sure that the roads can be taken care of.
Well,
and,
you
know, obviously we can afford to just go spend $160,000 a mile every time somebody wants to come in and put a hog barn up.
Does it include increase the value of the property and increase the...
It will increase the EAV, yes.
Yeah, but I don't...
Not enough to...
None,
you know,
not,
it's
not
about...
Make a difference.
I think he told me roughly, or I heard from somebody else roughly, it's about $1 million, just a shade over $1 million a barn is what those mm-hmm. things cost to put up. I don't know what that's going to, as far as what they're going to be assessed at. But I don't, you know, $1 million, it's not going to generate a whole lot of revenue as far as tax money for the road district. You know what I mean?
And then your maintenance.
And then trying to maintain it, you know, after they're up.
Well, the deal is they're wanting to put in like 31 total, being Champaign and Iroquois, or Champaign and Vermilion.
All right. Yeah, well, he told me they got six up in, I think, Vermilion County now, and he was looking for another six, like right in this. They want to keep them kind of as close as they can because the same feed trucks and all that stuff, so they can run a route, you know, is what he told me. But that's kind of where I'm at now. You know, I've been discussing this with Jeff for the last few days, as well as with some of the other road commissioners, and I think it's kind of one of those things. This seems to be kind of the first one, you know, in the county here as far as that, and we kind of got to tread lightly, and it's kind of going to set up somewhat of a precedent if, you know, we come in and get too low a figure to, you know, what's going to cost them to build the roads, and they're going to, you know, the next one, they're going to say, well, we only had to pay X amount of dollars on that one, so that's all we're going to pay.
They put one up in Rantoul Township. Oh, it's been 5-6 years ago at least now. But I don't think they had any trouble with anything.
How long has it been in there?
Rantoul probably got a lot better.
They got a lot of money.
They are pretty good roads. They are pretty good roads.
I mean, honestly, Rantoul Township is
probably
our second wealthiest township in the county, behind Mahomet.
I was going to say, yeah, they'd be.
And Champaign.
Thank you for bringing this up. That's I appreciate that. What sort of loads are these trucks likely to carry?
Outside the, once the construction is all done, he said basically to fill the barns, you know, you're looking at basically two loads of piglets coming in, which, you know, isn't too much. But then you're looking at 2 to 3 loads of feed per week.
That would be the larger, heavier load.
Right, yeah, that's 2 or 3, you know, semi, 80,000-pound semi loads.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be over 80, but you never know.
And then, you know, after 6 months or however long it takes them to get to market, he said there's roughly 24 to 25 loads of market hogs that come back out, and then the cycle would start all over again. Mm-hmm.
It's really the initial construction that is probably the worst.
Right.
Because to build those pits takes a lot of concrete.
Mm-hmm. And like, you know, say he said if they could get everything to go the way they wanted, they were looking at a mid to late summer build on them. Well, if the roads that are there now, okay, let's say they start middle of July, you know, they're going to have trucks in and out of there. I mean, on top of the concrete trucks, they're going to have rock trucks and flatbed semi, or, you know, with materials and stuff, and if they've got 10 or 12 trucks come in to drop stuff off one day, you know, we're gonna have 10 or 12 trucks sitting there on the township road when it's 90 degrees out, you know, as far as the staging area until they can get into where they got to get into to unload.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
there is no staging there,
right? So I guess that's my biggest issue. That's just, as far as, you know, the township and the road district goes, you know, obviously if we can't get them to fork up any money to build the road the way it needs to be, then I don't know where we're going to go with it, because we're not going to have the funds to do it.
Right. And I talked to John Hall about this, and he was apologetic to the fact that the county can't pass any kind of ordinance for these types of facilities because the state regulates them, and they disallowed counties to have a feedlot ordinance per se. You know, we have wind farm ordinances and everything else. He's the head of the planning and zoning department. So he would be in charge of taking it through, you know, ELUC or through the P&Z board. And from what I read from this 12-page document I have from the state about livestock management facilities, I mean, the county has the right to request a public hearing on something like this where people can voice their concerns and their positive and negative on these. But the county really doesn't have any way to regulate where they go. It's all based on the state statutes and the state laws, and they got setbacks from the closest house, and they got setbacks from the roads and from floodplains and everything else. But the county doesn't have any way to regulate where these things go. It's basically a state issue. So that's Ryan's main concern, is that the county really doesn't have a footing in this. But we have in the past. I mean, we've had other places, I think south of you, there was a truck place
Wish
going
transfer,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we did something there, right?
Yep, we got
built
something
up the
done
road there.
There.
So it's, and the townships have passed an ordinance in each of their townships about different developments and utilities and constructions in their townships. And we used an outside lawyer who helped us with our road use agreement on our wind farms. And I suggested to Ryan that he probably should talk to her about, she knows this better than anybody in the state. She's developed road use agreements for multiple counties and townships throughout the state on different items. So, but he's right. I mean, we looked at the numbers based on what it cost township south of him, Compromise Township, to build up some roads for wind farm development, as well as when they had their tornado and Ameren came through and redid their power lines. It's pushing $150,000 a mile to basically go in the cement, treat the soil, grind it up, and then you come back and put a seal coat surface on the top of it over a period of a couple of years.
What was that road again?
What's
you,
that?
You please describe what it was that you said.
Well, the wind farm roads in Compromise and Ogden Township, you know, where they built all the wind farms, and then there was 2800 North, which is just south of Gifford.
I was curious about the base and the pavement. Yeah.
Yeah, they come in with basically big rototill grinders with an attachment on them, and they put down 5% cement, dry cement, and they put water
Portland,
in the trucks, and they
Portland.
Yeah, they grind it into the soil and the existing.
So it's a soil cement.
It's a soil cement, but it's all mixed together with the existing rock or seal coat or whatever he has on his roadway, and it's made into a homogeneous mixture, and they pack it down.
The seal coat, and then they put up asphalt.
No, seal coat.
But
yeah.
Yeah, seal coat.
Usually three layers of seal coat, two the first year, one the following year.
Correct.
In order to just basically weatherize the top.
Is that sufficient for the bearing? I mean,
yeah, it worked really good.
It's basically weak cement.
Well, I know it. Weak concrete
underneath there.
Yeah, and it kind of depends on whether they use, real Portland or.
Yeah, they have to use real Portland. It has to go through state inspection and all that kind of thing. You have to do a soil test. So you.
How deep, how thick is that?
8 to 12 inches.
8 to 12 inches.
Yeah, minimum of 8, but they do go to 12 as well.
That's if the soil.
If the soil will accept it.
Yeah.
Because if the soil has high organic content
Which
in it.
Which it does in this area.
Right. So we'd have to do a soil test.
Furthermore, we've got a swelling soil, which is the montmorillonitic loess.
Yeah.
And
they had a similar thing on this Compromise Township where they had some organics in it, and there was a swelling soil, but it has worked really well and held up really well.
Yeah.
Well, it's held up okay on campus, too. I've seen stuff done there. But I'm concerned about the long-term and...
Long-term, over 20 years, you'll get some cracking in it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, because what's underneath is hard, and it's going to crack.
Well, if it's on the till, yes.
Yeah.
But if it's... If it's a thicker loess soil, that's.
Yeah, we'd have to look at the SCS maps and see what kind of soil is in that area, and you'd want to do a laboratory test on it first to make sure that it's going to be able to do what it's supposed to do. I mean, they'll do it in the lab and test it and see what kind of strength they get out of the mixture of the cement and the soil. Sometimes the only other thing you can do is basically put about a foot of rock on top of the road. But then your road gets high, your shoulders get narrow mm-hmm. because he doesn't have any right-of-way to deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, the wider the road, the better, because you are going to have opposing vehicles, so you want to get this thing 22 feet wide
and that's
so
the they don't have right to get now, off on the shoulders. Only, you know, the road's only 15, 16 foot wide at that, you know, now.
Oh, that's narrow.
You know, and then you got your ditch right away. So if you're going to widen the road out, then obviously you're going to have to
push the ditches out
and redo it.
Would that mean buying additional right-of-way?
What do you got out there? Is it 60 or is it 40?
I'd have to look. All those roads are different out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd have to look at the map. I don't know that I've ever seen what the actual right-of-way is on that road.
We could look and see.
Are we solely dependent on the beneficence of the company on how much they're going to pay for a road improvement, or do we have any leverage that way?
I don't find any place where we have leverage, but I'm not a lawyer either.
Well, I think the only leverage you have is some month is, you know, go to the company say, I don't have the money to fix the road, and when the road goes bad, you're stuck with it. It is a little bit different. The wind farms mostly use the road during construction.
Right.
They have some maintenance, but not very much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they come in real slowly and things like that, be careful. But these guys are going to be using the road all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's your only leverage. Say, hey, I can't do anything for you unless you guys put up some money.
Right.
So they'll be using it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I think our ordinance that we passed for the road use agreement, I think that'll give you a leg to stand on. I really do. And I think Cheryl is going to be your best bet. But
is that
I think that's the attorney that we all use. But I think that maybe that I think what we're trying to ask for, I guess, is the county to help us adopt something here that's a standard. That so when this hits other townships, because it's obviously going to, that we have a standard that everybody goes asking for the same thing. And I'm sure the county's going to get some of these on county roads that maybe if we all get on the same page, we'll have a good leg to stand on here.
So is that a question for the attorney based on what you've said? That's in your 12-page document there, that the county doesn't seem to have much authority to do that. Am I understanding correctly?
Well, I don't think we have the my question, I guess, would be is we don't have the authority to tell them where they can put it, but we should still have the authority over the road and what the road has to be maintained to. And I guess that's the big question, and I know you don't have the answer for that yet.
Right.
We don't. Where do we go to get that answer?
I think we need to sit down with Ryan and Cheryl, and okay. Before we even sit down with whoever
Parks.
This developer is,
yeah.
We need to have some conversations with her. She's had to dealt with this.
I haven't called her
right.
yet, just because this is all kind of, I've never had to deal with anything like this, so that's why my first call was to you and to see which direction we need to go.
And remember, Ryan, and this is something for you to consider too, that most of the time the attorney fees can be worked into this, so you're not going to be out those either.
Right.
You always set a scale out there and stop every single truck if they
don't. You got to have a sheriff that's willing to do that, though.
Yes, you do.
Well,
you have to have a toll gate out
that's
there.
That's a good point, too. You know, we can tell them they build this barn. Okay, well, this is your designated route you need to stay on. Well, if they come in on another road, even if it's posted, we don't have somebody out there to enforce it. It's really not going to be any good.
So I think you and Jeff need to get together with Cheryl, and I'd be more happy to come in too and sit down and talk about it.
And if you find there's a block about this, then this is something that it won't solve his problem, but long term with our legislators, because that's really tied the county's hands.
Yeah, well, this was adopted in 96 and revised three times since then as state law.
I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying that if your interpretation turns out to be accurate after a conversation, the county's hands are really tied a lot, if I'm understanding correctly. And so then,
except for the public hearing process and the comments we can make, it's up to the state to approve or not approve the site. It's not up to the county.
Yeah, right.
And if we make a noise at the public hearing, what does that do besides putting us on record?
Exactly. That's
well, I, and I, that might be important, but I I forget if it was Pius or somebody else that pointed that, brought it up about, you know, if the roads, if the truck can...
If it becomes a washboard.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to become a mud pit is what it's going to be.
Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be a washboard.
Washboard is...
If the truck gets stuck, they kind of come to the township.
They could.
And I mean, what, besides complaining, what do they do? Can they sue you for not having maintained the road?
Well, you have to maintain the road to a certain level, yeah, as a township. That's in the statute.
But if you don't have money.
Right.
And, well, that might not fly, but I'm...
But it's a pretty low level that you have to maintain a road to. It has to be passable by a four-wheel drive and four-inch ruts, and I mean...
With a front winch in case.
Yeah, it's a pretty low standard that a township has to maintain a road to, so...
We didn't hear you say that.
It's not a standard that they're going to want to drive on.
One other issue that, I don't know, you guys may... But the top star there in section 7, if you look at the map, that's going to be directly on the west side of the forest preserve up there.
Oh.
Yeah, get those good southwest
winds. I don't know what that's
going
to do to I mean, obviously, there's going to be
some great
aroma.
Fertilizer
there's,
to
going,
shrub.
There's going to be some aroma heading over towards that campground.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that forest preserve campground, my family uses a lot, and it's tough to get in there. That is a very busy place. I think that will really hurt that place.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the forest preserve will say something about that, I'm sure.
I hope.
I think they're already kind of, voicing their concerns. At least that's what John told me.
I think right now the point of the thing is they're coming. Just where they're going to be, we don't know.
Right.
But they are for sure coming.
You know, even if I throw a number out at, you know, him that say this is what it's going to take to build the road, and he said, well, that's too much, you know, whatever. They're still going to be looking for spots in other areas.
They're going to find new roads.
So that's why I, you know, was talking with Brad and Marvin and Chris and a few others.
Oh, you guys.
We kind of need to all be on the same page here, you know, as far as what it's going to take.
Show up somewhere else.
Right.
And they need to be ready for a number too.
Yep.
So that was my little spiel, I guess. That's all
Thank
I got.
You, Ryan.
Unless you guys
Thank
had
you.
Any other questions.
Just real quick. Somebody got a dark Dodge.
That's mine.
Pickup.
It's running.
Oh, it's running?
Yeah, because I don't want to go to a cold truck.
Okay, because your lights are on.
You don't care about the environment. Oh.
It doesn't burn that much fuel.
I just wanted to, I saw the lights were on.
Thank you.
All right, thanks
we'll
for your
get
time.
Together.
Thank you, Ryan.
Okay, you want me to get over to Shirley? You want to? I can call her if you want me to.
You want to?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give her a ring.
Okay.
See if we can figure something out. Okay? Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any more communication? Okay, seeing now, we're going to the County Council Motor Fuel Tax Claim for November and December 2017.
Move to approve?
I'd like to. I'll second for purposes of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, discussion?
Could we have an explanation on equipment rental and mm-hmm. then county engineer forces? I'm a little unfamiliar with that.
Sure. So in order to bolster our highway fund, we rent our equipment from our motor fuel tax fund to our highway fund. So anytime a truck's on the roadway, we have a GPS locator on it, and it tracks.
This is an internal thing?
Yes.
Okay, so this is kind of more of an internal shift.
Yes, it's a shift from the motor fuel tax fund to the highway fund. So we can charge the rental of our equipment that we use on the roadways to the motor fuel tax fund, and then move that money to the highway fund where we have more flexibility to use it, as well as we can, if we're building a roadway and we're using motor fuel tax funds to build that roadway, and we have an engineer that's on the job, we can charge their hours to that job and transfer the money to the highway fund. So this is something that's in the budget every year. We usually transfer, is it 225, Michelle, I think?
For the equipment rental?
For equipment rental per year. And then the engineering transfers are just whatever, you know, we spend on engineers out on a job.
That's the second line?
That's the second line, yeah, for the county engineers forces. So any equipment that goes out of here, we know how many hours it's running, where it's at, how many miles we're putting on it, and we charge that to the motor fuel tax fund. So you'll probably, we don't do that on a monthly basis. We'll wait until it builds up. You'll see this is July through September, and then we'll basically bill from the highway fund to the motor fuel tax fund to recoup those costs.
Thank you.
The balance is on the next one, the December one, the equipment rental there. That took us up to the final 225.
Okay. And that's the same thing with this engineered fees on the guardrail project?
No, the guardrail project is a consulting engineering company that's doing that work. Cummins Engineering, yeah. They did it's an HSIP grant, Highway Safety Improvement Program. They did our grant proposal for us, turned it into IDOT. We got $2 million in federal Highway Safety Improvement dollars to upgrade our guardrails throughout our county highway system, throughout the county. So they came out, did all the surveys, tracked them in GPS, did a guardrail analysis on what is up to the standards, what is not up to the standards, measured them all. They're doing all the engineers' estimates, putting the plans together, and then it'll be bid through IDOT, through a federal aid process, and then we'll do the inspection.
Okay, so this is just, this doesn't include the the repairs and maintenance, it's just for the engineering?
The engineering to determine which guardrails need to be replaced throughout the county. We're basically replacing 80% to 90% of our guardrails countywide. Wow. With federal dollars.
Wow.
To get them up to current standards. We have a lot of guardrails out there that have been up 20 years, and the standards have probably changed 4 to 5 times in that period. Either they're too low, or they don't have the right end treatment on them, or you know, it's not the right material. This was a big push from the Office of Safety at IDOT to get all the guardrails. We had to do a guardrail inventory for every county.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that guardrail inventory, we could submit for these grants. We submitted for somewhere a little short of $2 million. They had $1 million cap on the grant. So in the next year, we put the rest of it back in. So we're going to have the entire thing. It'd be a 90% federal aid project. It'll be 10% motor fuel tax money, 90% federal.
Can I raise one more?
Sure.
A couple more. Open road pavement, that's a rather large number.
Which one we at?
That's on page 4.
Dewey Elliott Road.
Oh, yeah, that was the, when we redid the Dewey Elliott Road from Dewey up to the Ford County line.
Okay.
We totally redid the roadway. Golden Place recycled. We widened the shoulders, redid all the ditches. That was a $2 million project. So this is pay estimate number 5, which we're done with the project. So I assume that that was the one that we were waiting on final inspection, basically. So we're almost done paying for that job. But yeah, it was a $2 million. We got.
What kind of a pavement is that now? Is that the soil cement?
No. It was an existing roadway that we hadn't done anything to in 25 years. And we have probably 180 of our 200 miles countywide. We've taken over from the state at some point in the past. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these roads, if you look at these center two pieces of table, if going towards Patsy is towards a grain elevator, this side of the roadway was at some point built in concrete back in the 40s.
Okay.
This side of the roadway was gravel. Okay, and then over the years, they've gone ahead and put asphalt over the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then they probably went back and put more asphalt over the whole thing. So we got this kind of composition of pavement that's half concrete with asphalt, half gravel with asphalt. Then this roadway was probably about 18 foot wide. So they went out another 2 or 3 feet, dug down 12 inches, put all asphalt in. So we got this asphalt wedge out on the outside on both sides. So we got this pavement that's a mixture of everything. So we go in, cold in place, recycle the top 4 inches of asphalt, which is a train that comes in, picks up 4 inches of asphalt, runs it through a pug mill that's within the train that's going. They put about 2% asphalt back in it, comes out the back in a windrow. They pick it up with a machine, and they lay it down with an asphalt paver. Okay. And then we come back and put 3 inches of hot mix asphalt on top of that. Wow. Because it's not as strong as hot mix asphalt, but it's a very nice flexible base. So our concrete, you know, we got joints every 15 feet in that concrete or whatever. It stops, it retards those reflective cracks from coming through, rejuvenates the whole pavement. So we figure we get.
What about this side? No improvement on that.
We do the whole roadway.
I know, but I mean, but this is still gravel.
It's still gravel underneath there. It's usually about a foot of gravel underneath there, so it's a good base underneath there. It's just the road is old. It's worn out. It's basically past its service life. And we're seeing really good results. You know, we've had some that have been down, I think, 7 years now with very little cracking. We're hoping we get 20 years. When we do an overlay, we just strictly go in and either mill or don't mill a roadway, put new asphalt on top, we're getting 12 years. If we do this process, we're hoping we get like 20 years out of it before we have to really go back and do a major rehab of the roadway again. I mean, we'll do crack sealing and seal coating and, you know, the general maintenance that it takes to keep the roadway good. But it's a process I used up in Minnesota before I came here. Illinois finally adopted it about 2 years. Actually, we did it under an experimental feature because Illinois had not adopted it yet. And that's kind of the major fix that we're doing on our roadways that are really in very poor condition.
Plus, he had to acquire land.
Yes, and there was right of way that needed to be acquired. We had ditches
Lots of 10 feet
deep, about this far off the road.
I hated going down that road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we pushed the shoulders out, acquired right of way to redo the ditches. It was a pretty substantial overhaul of the whole roadway.
Part of my interest in your explanation, which is very detailed, thank you, is that I recently had some dealings with a fellow on the federal highway, and they're looking at long-term sustainable road management. 20 years is not considered long enough, at least now. Of course,
right.
We're talking about federal highways and a different type of construction.
Right.
And 20 years seems, I you know, forgive me for saying, but it seems awfully short term.
If we do what the county's done forever, we get 10 to 12 years. I mean,
it's an incremental improvement.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to do like the state does and go in and, I mean, we're going to have to do that on one roadway in particular, but on most of our roads, if we go in and rip out the whole roadway and start from scratch, you're going to at least double the cost of the price. You know?
But that would be a longer term fix, though.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. I don't think it will be.
I'm just kind of wondering because, I mean, so much of it kind of gets down to my area, which is
right.
The base.
Yeah.
And foundation. And that's where...
And the only time we ever do a cold-in-place recycle, see, what we do is we go out and we do a subgrade investigation. So we go out, we have a coring machine. We go out with our own coring machine. We core all the way through the pavement. We see how much gravel we have underneath the pavement. We take those cores, we send them to a laboratory, and they do an analysis on whether this cold-in-place recycling is going to work. But the first analysis that we do is, is there enough base underneath there to hold up what we're going to do? Do we have enough base? If we don't have enough base, like County Road 9 from Ludlow over to County Road 32, which is the road that goes down to Gifford. We have no base on that roadway, and we're going to totally rip that one up.
This may be more technical than what a lot of the committee, but it's of interest to me.
And we have, you're kind of, both of you guys are relatively new. We have a pavement management system where we evaluate our roadways every year. And every other year, we have a pavement management company that goes out and videotapes the entire roadway.
Yep.
They give us a pavement condition index on all of our roadways from year to year based on the construction methodology that we used and the maintenance that we use. And we're finding that this particular process is keeping our pavement condition indexes way up in comparison to what we used to do. We're not going to go out and put in 12 inches of concrete on a rural roadway with 1,000 cars a day,
no,
like the interstates do. And honestly, I'm not all that impressed by the interstates.
Some of them really showed a lot of...
Right, yeah. So,
question.
Yep. So it's a good process. I'm very, very happy with it.
And this equipment rental is kind of the same thing.
It's the exact same thing as the month before. That gets us to, since it was through December, which is the end of the year, obviously, that was what we needed to get to our $225,000 budget number that we have to transfer from motor fuel over to highway fund.
Thank you.
You bet.
My apologies to the rest of the committee for dragging the...
Hey, if you got any other questions, please feel free to come by.
I love this technical stuff. This is. I live
for it. Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Now we're going to go into the engineer's report.
Item 8, just wanted to bring it to your attention that in the highway budget for 2018, we have budgeted for a new truck, only one, which we replaced a Peterbilt that is 13 years old that we have out in the shop now. I know there's a lot of budget issues going on with the county. And
is this a 10-wheeler, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a tandem.
And are we going to go with another Mac?
Another Mac, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So I just wanted to bring, because it's, if we don't order it, basically, and these are about a 6-month build. Mm-hmm. So if you don't order it in February, you don't have it before the snow flies next year. So I don't want to wait. I want to get the bid documents together and get a bid here in the next month or so that we can get it in front of you guys for approval so that they can start building that truck. Hopefully get it by Thanksgiving of 2018, so we're ready for the next snow season with that new truck. So just, I know there's a lot of talk on the budget as far as big ticket items, but we did budget for this. And I just want to bring that to you.
How much is it?
About $175,000.
Wow. They're running a president sale.
No, they're not.
No. Do you kind of have a ceremony when you receive it or something like that?
We run
by
it
that time, we can't afford the champagne.
You can't afford it.
Just put the blade on and go.
So, but you bought a lot of Mack trucks. So
yes.
Can you help me appreciate why another one?
Well, the ones, remember we had all those internationals that didn't run?
Yeah, I got that.
So we
that.
Replaced all those with the Macks, and they weren't necessarily in line as far as time goes. They were in line because they weren't running. So we generally, with the number of trucks that we have 10 trucks. Longevity of a truck is 12 years or so. We typically need to purchase one on an annual basis.
I see. Okay, thanks.
To keep our rotation going.
I got it.
Because when you need them, you need them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need a motion?
No, it's informational. The next item, number 9, is kind of informational as well. I don't know if everybody follows retirements and so forth at the county. I know some of you were at the retirement or the employee recognition event, but we had a maintenance worker, Guy Davis, who retired from the county. So that leaves us with 8 full-time maintenance workers and 2 mechanics and a road foreman. honestly, as good as we're doing on our pavements in the summer, the conversation that we just had and the shape that our pavements are in, our workforce at 8 is probably enough. We have 8 plow routes, so we have, as long as nobody's off, nobody's sick, you know, we can cover the 8 plow routes with full-time guys, flip them over with our snowbirds, and be able to cover our snow in the winter. And in the summertime, our maintenance has been slowly deteriorating as far as the need for it on our roadways. We still have to do a lot of mowing, a lot of ditch work, a lot of culvert work, but our pavement work and our patching work that we have done in the summers really is getting minimized by the quality of pavements that we have out there. So
you need lesser maintenance because of the quality is improved?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I'm inclined to wait to see if we really need to replace this position at this time and see how we do with the workforce that we have on staff currently. So,
how long has he worked for us?
30?
Yeah, I thought it was.
I was going to say, guy's been here forever.
I thought it was 30, if I remember.
30 plus, 34, something like that.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
So he's,
remember.
Yeah, he was. He was here. Of the.
Oh yeah.
If he's not already in a warmer place.
Yeah. Well, he said IMRF was good enough. He'd be actually making a little more take home pay than he was making working here. And I said, that's
wow.
You can't argue with that.
Why did it take him so long to retire?
He enjoyed the work, but now he's to the age where he doesn't want to get up and plow snow in the middle of the night and deal with everything that you have to do.
Got it.
So he just feels he's going to do some odd jobs. He's got horses, you know, and he enjoys doing that. And
decided you paid him too much if he has horses.
Hmm? Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he's retired, and you know, I want to keep that position available, but I'm not necessarily thinking about filling that position immediately.
So are you putting this money in an escrow in case you come back for a replacement, or are you just folding it back into your budget?
Folding it back into the budget.
Okay.
Hopefully be able to do more road work. We don't typically do a lot of construction work out of our highway funds. We're going to this year because of the Ameren money that we got last year. But, you know, I'd like to see a day again where we actually have some money in the highway fund to actually do road improvements. It's not, hasn't been that way in quite some time. But we may get back there at some point. So that was just information. We don't need any.
Okay.
The next two, we have a petition requesting and a resolution approving appropriation of funds for County Bridge Fund in Colfax Township. This is a replacement of an in-place culvert. You see there the petition from Jeff White. Cost of replacing the structure is estimated to be about $26,000. We value that against their assessed valuation. It has to be 0.02%. of their total taxable property or more, and it's much more than that. You see a map there of the location of the replacement. Currently it's a 12-foot by 3-foot by 22-foot. We're gonna replace it with similar size, 12-foot by 3-foot by 24-foot, a little bit wider box culvert. These projects are funded 50-50 with the township. And we do our 50-50. We pay for the cost of the material. The material is delivered to the township on site, and they pay for the placement of the box and all the construction work that goes along with getting it in service.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, we moved in second and open for discussion.
Thank you. Is the 0.02 percentage, is that something, is that becoming an impediment, or is that, I mean, should that be adjusted in some
way? It's a state statute.
I understand, but I mean, is that something that's kind of used to be a kind of a large figure,
but now it's more.
I think it works out well because in the townships, you get a Rantoul Township or Muhammad Township that wants to do a small project like this, and they don't meet that requirement, but they have the funding to be able to do it on their own. Most townships in the county.
I think you've only told me no once.
Yeah. I mean, it keeps us from having to do very small projects on behalf of the township. I mean, if he wants to put in a 24-inch tin whistle underneath the roadway, that's not really anything that the county should probably be participating in.
Right.
But these projects where you put in a box culvert and do a bigger drainage project, I think it's appropriate that the county bridge funds, which the statute says the county bridge funds shall be used on township projects first and county projects second. We obviously levy for that. And in no means are we spending all the money on again a given year on township projects. But I don't think it's in any way prohibiting townships from
being able to do projects. I'm new to the thing, and I thought I'd ask.
Yep.
And the half and half is again customary.
Yes.
Okay.
Now we get into a really poor township that has absolutely money, no money. We'll do a little bit more if we can for them. You know, if we had a project of this magnitude, maybe up, you know, in Ryan's township, say we had a $50,000 project, he only has $64,000 in a whole year, and he's got to pay $25,000. You know, we may increase our effort, but most townships, it's a 50-50.
Okay. Any other discussion?
No, ma'am.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then we have a mirror image project just down the road on the same water course as the one that you just approved in the same township for the same amount.
Yeah, that was kind of a little confusing.
Replacing a 6x3 with a 12x3. So basically same size pipe because of the water flow going through the pipe. And we always do we don't charge the townships anything, but we do the engineering to do the hydraulic analysis to see what kind of size of pipe that they need in order to pass the water underneath the roadway and not have flooding over the roadway.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Open for discussion. Chris?
I have no questions.
Okay, anybody else? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Under other business, I just had a quick note to bring to your attention. We're doing the Broadlands Road this year, which goes from the road between Sydney and Homer down to the county line, which passes through the village of Broadlands. And actually, the village of Broadlands has jurisdiction of the roadway through the village, but we received TARP money, which is basically truck money in order to upgrade roads to 80,000 pounds that the county can apply for. And for in order to receive that money, we had to build the roadway through Broadlands so that it's a continuous 80,000 pound route. So we're going to use some of that money to build the roadway through the village of Broadlands. I've talked to the mayor, sent him an agreement. He signed it, allowing us to do that work. The roadway will still be under the jurisdiction of the village of Broadlands. When we're done, we're just going to build it as we're building the other roadway through Broadlands on that project. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. So
this is an improvement?
Yes.
In standards?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
They don't have any money. I mean, I don't know what their tax base is, but it's dwindling every year. So we're going to go ahead and build that through town. He would love to give the road to me, but I would love not to take it. We're going to let them keep it.
He'd love to give you all the roads the whole damn time.
You're right.
So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. If anybody makes comment about us doing work in Broadlands, it's because of that.
Okay, there's no chair report, and the designated be 10 and 11.
Yep. You got it.
Okay, is there anything else that needs to go before this committee? And I declare us adjourned.
Thank you.
Merci.